Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Why were these Galileans murdered by Pilate? Were they bad people? Were they getting their just deserts? Why were those 18 innocent bystanders killed when the Tower of Siloam fell and crushed them to death? Did they deserve to die because they were so sinful? Why are all those Ukrainians now being slaughtered? Innocent men, women, and children, old people, arms destroyed, bodies destroyed, buildings destroyed, historical land site destroyed. Was that because they were getting their just deserts? Why were there 50 Muslims destroyed and killed in New Zealand? Was God punishing the Muslims? Why are those people in Texas suffering because of those fires and people dying? Were Texans being punished? And why do I have to go through this pain and suffering? Why this unfairness in my life? Why? Am I being punished for something? You know, these are questions we all ask at times. In the theological circles, they have a very fancy word for these questions, theodicy. Theodicy. What does evil happen in this world? How can a good and loving God allow terrible things to happen in this world? In fact, a few years ago, there was a best-selling book called by Harold Kushner, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Anybody read that book? Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Got one. All right. And he would say, how can an all-loving God, all-powerful God, allow this to happen? And through the book, as you read it, his conclusion was, well, if God is love, you can't have evil, but if evil happens, then he can't be all-powerful. So God can't be all-powerful. He can love you, but he can't be all-powerful. So that was Kushner's conclusion. What do you think about that answer? Well, in today's gospel reading, notice, Jesus does not answer why these terrible things happen. Why do people suffer? Why evil happens to people? Here's the thing. You see, the world shaped by God is a wonderful world, and it's very creative. The creativity of God also has with it freedom. Freedom of choice. Freedom means that God in love allows people, you and me, to make choices and to live by the consequences of those choices. You know, if somebody smokes 5 packs of cigarettes a day for a few years and he gets lung cancer, but then you have a baby that's born with cancer, what's going on? And being true to the promise of freedom, God does not intervene. God allows us to live the consequences of our choices. But that does not mean that God doesn't care, that God is absent, that God doesn't weep when we weep, that God doesn't suffer when we suffer, that God doesn't shake his head with tears in his eyes as he sees what we're doing to our world right now. Suffering. God does wish us to do good, to avoid evil. He does want us to eat healthy diets for our bodies. He does want us to wear masks when it is dangerous with COVID in the area. He does want us to take care of our friends and our family and our church and our neighborhood and our country and our world. God is present. He proves that on the cross. On the cross he suffered. He entered into our suffering. He entered into our world. He didn't hold anything back. He could have stayed in heaven. And no, he came down and took upon our flesh and our experiences and our temptations and our sufferings. And on the cross he bled and he cried out in pain. He entered into the deepest of pain any of us has ever experienced. He understands. He proves that. God embraced our suffering. God endures the suffering. God confronts the suffering. God suffers on the cross. And not escaping the suffering, entering into the suffering. He transforms the suffering, because what happened? Good Friday, yes, but Easter 3 days later. Easter happened. So the question is not why. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do I go through this? The question is how? How? How do we now live by the crucified God who lives? And how do we endure in a world that is not fair? If you think the world's fair, you haven't lived long enough. It's not fair what happens. Where sometimes things happen that we just can't explain. And sometimes we suffer, really suffer. So what do? We give up and say that's the way it is. We go shopping and try to keep busy, or take some drugs, or binge watch TV or to escape. Do we give in? Do we despair? Or do we claim what is ours and move forward in the power of Jesus Christ? And remember that Jesus lives. That faith, hope, and love always live. This is why Jesus says, repent. Turn back to your baptism. Turn back to your church. Turn back to your God. Every day, turn back. Turn away from the why questions. Why is life so unfair? Why did it happen to me? Why is this happening? Oh, it's just terrible. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Which is self-defeating and a waste of energy. But turn towards the how questions. How, because Jesus lives, how can I now live? You know, suffering happens. One of my heroes, he died a few weeks ago, but I read his books, I love him, Thich Nhat Hanh. You mentioned, Jacob likes Thich Nhat Hanh. Thich Nhat Hanh, he's a Vietnamese Buddhist who was in Vietnam during the war, and he won the Nobel Peace Prize. He was friends with Martin Luther King Jr. He's just a remarkable man. But he talks about suffering in our lives. All we do is suffer, because we all suffer. He says, just suffering and pain, if somebody hurts us, it's like mud that gets stirred up in our bodies. And some people, they want to get back, or they want to, so they throw this mud all over the place. They oh, how terrible it is, and you're terrible, and it's your fault, la, la, la. And everybody gets ugly and muddy. So that's one way to do it. It's not the smartest way. Another way he talks about is to take that mud and to sit with it, and to bring in love and compassion and mindfulness, and let the mud settle, so we could see more clearly. Because he said, out of the mud, the lotus plant grows and blossoms and blooms and gives beauty and fragrance to the world. That's one way to do it too. This is what happens when we turn to God, stay close to God, stay grounded, connected in God's grace, because when pain and suffering happen, and it does, and it will, you will allow God to sustain you, to God to lift you up with eagle's wings. God will hang from the cross of your tragedy, of your life, of your doubt, of your despair, your, my God, why have you forsaken me moments. God will weep with you, God will be with you, and God will never ever abandon you. He's there. God is with you always, even to the end of the age. And the Holy Spirit is there to take that pain, to take that suffering, and that real anguish and grief, and to transform it into something good, something good. Jesus finishes this morning telling the parable of the fig tree, and he tells the story in order to remind us that what kind of God we have. God is not like the landowner who after a few years just says, forget about it, rip up the plant and destroy it. No, God is like the wise gardener, the wise and patient gardener who gives us a second and a third and a fourth chance, who is patient, who gives us the chances in his way. This gardener, this God, prunes us, yeah, digs around us, fertilizes us, waters us. Then God waits. God waits for the seeds of divine creativity in us to finally blossom and bear fruit for the life of the world. We are called to be peacemakers, to be peace, to be the light, to be the healers. You saw that powerful speech by President Zelensky when he addressed our Congress in the United States. He said, be peacemakers. President Biden, be a peacemaker. No, God does not knock down towers and murder people or innocent Galileans. Our God is a gardener who has all the time in the world for us to give and grow into spiritual maturity and ripen and with compassion. God's infinite love for us and infinite patience with us. You know, there was a wonderful Jewish businessman and author, Martin Gray, who survived the Polish ghetto in World War II with the Nazis. And his family, many of his family members, died in the Holocaust, in the death camps in Nazi Germany. And following the war, he married and he raised a family and became a very successful businessman and a good author. And then, once again, tragedy struck in his life. A terrible fire in southern France destroyed his home and killed his wife and children. And he was crushed by this horrible loss again. And his friends encouraged him to launch an investigation into how and why this horror could happen. But instead, Martin Gray began a movement to help protect people and the environment from future fires. He explained to his friends that an investigation would only focus on the past, on the issues of pain and sorrow and suffering and blame, on accusing the other people of being responsible for his misery. He wasn't interested in asking why. He was only interested in asking, now what? Now what? In my life situation right now, how can I live forward from this horrible tragedy? How can I live into the future, into life-affirming, not life-denying ways? How can I live for something and not only live against something? You ever hear of MADD, M-A-D-D, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers? Do you know how that started? A woman lost her son to a drunk driver, and she's finding ways now of trying to stop that from ever happening again. See, to take the suffering and bring in compassion and life-giving ways for yourself and for others. Today, Jesus presents us with a central dilemma, the choice of Lent, of this season we are in. Are we stuck in the past, in the pain and the suffering and the unfairness of life? Or do we believe in the future? Are we living against something? Or is our life meant to be lived for something? Do we want excuses and blame and poor me? Or do we want God in the power of the Holy Spirit to repent, to turn back to God, to change our hearts, to change our minds, and return back to God and take responsibility for our lives, but knowing that I take that responsibility with Christ in my heart and the Holy Spirit with me, and to turn back to God and to pray and to take suffering and anxiety and COVID and Ukraine and all that goes on in your lives and the hurts and the pains that you have, and ask the Holy Spirit to take that grief and to transform it into grace. Choose God. You can't avoid suffering, but our daddy, our Abba, Father, as Jesus called him, can transform you in the suffering to live a Christ-centered life. God can take your Good Friday experience, which are real, which we don't deny, but through suffering, God can give you resurrection, Easter. Remember, Jesus was raised from the dead with his scars on his hands, in his side, in his feet. But he rose for you and for all people and all creation. Remember, the crucified lives, and as you do, live in the crucified one, Jesus Christ our Lord, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, take your wounds and your suffering and ask for God's transforming power, and then do something with that energy that is beautiful for God, for others, and for yourself. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.